Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, if you will, today. I'm just going to cover one subject today. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about missions and stewardship, and then we'll get into another series, another study of Sunday school lessons after that. Today, the Lord laid on my heart to talk to you about stewarding your trial with grace. Stewarding, that is, using the things that come our way, whatever God gives us. We call it a stewardship. We have a responsibility. Stewarding your trial with grace. Not everybody stewards their trials with grace. Not everybody sees it as a stewardship. No matter what God allows in our lives, it is something we are responsible to take and use for His honor and for His glory. 2 Corinthians 12, let's begin with verse 5. Paul is here, of course, talking about his sufferings and his revelations. And he said, "Of such an one will I glory," verse 5, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to do, or to be rather, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. We don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. Some think it was ophthalmia, an eye disease, because when he signed his letter, he signed it with large letters, and usually he had a secretary, a male secretary, who would help write and all of those things. But we do know he had a thorn in the flesh, whatever it may have been, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me, verse 9. And notice this verse. This is our key verse for the lesson. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Glory in my infirmities, glory in my problems. And in this case, Paul is talking about physical problems that he had, very serious type physical problems. When we have testimony meetings, most of the time the testimonies go something like this: "I just want to get up and praise the Lord for the new car he gave us. We needed a new car, we prayed, and God gave us a new car." Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Or, "I want to thank God for the fact that I'm not sick," or, "I'm no longer sick." Or, "I want to thank God for the fact that He gave me a financial blessing that I wasn't expecting. The insurance company paid me back." That'll be the day, won't it? But anyway, whatever, we thank God for that, and we thank God something may be good about our children. My son got a job, and he was been praying for a job, or a lot of different things. And we're talking about the good things that God does for us, and that's good. We ought to testify. And everybody should have a testimony for the glory of God. But how many testimonies do you ever hear where people get up and say, "I just want to say, Pastor, and I want to say in front of these people, I thank God for my trials. I thank God that I've been sick. Or I thank God for my financial reversal. Or I thank God for some problem that is in my life that I'm having." How many of us really thank God for those times? Are they not allowed by God? And there are a lot of different reasons those things can come. We may touch on them if we have time, but do we thank God for our problems? "God, I just want to thank you for the problems I'm having today." You say, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." It does make biblical sense. It does make faith sense according to the Word of God. And our trials are a stewardship from God. There's something that God expects us to use for His glory. That's what stewardship is, whatever God gives us, taking it, using it for His glory. And even if it's a trial, even if it's a heartache, even if it's something we don't understand, even if it's something we would rather, absolutely rather not have, it's still a stewardship from God, and our responsibility is to use it for His glory, whatever He allows to come our way, for His glory, not to have a pity party or to be centered on ourselves, but to always try to use whatever it is for the glory of God. And if our trials are stewarded properly, taken care of properly, then God will use our problems for His glory. And so it is true that sometimes the greatest gifts that God gives us are given to us during the valleys, during the hard times, during the trials that we go through. Some of the very most tender things that God will show us about Himself, and some of the greatest gifts He'll give us, and unimaginable blessings, if we will steward those things right. If we don't, then we'll miss the blessing and God will not be glorified. So how can we steward? How can we use wisely the problems, the difficulties, the pain, the setbacks, the heartaches, the I'd rather not haves in our life? How can we properly use those for the glory of God? And I believe we can with God's help. We have to have His help and the grace of God, and God's grace is always there. The first thing I would say is we need to trust God's ways. Do you trust God's ways? Are you really sure you do? Do we really trust completely, 100% wholly, God's ways and what He's doing in our lives? The only way we can do that is by faith. Faith trusts what God is doing in our lives. And faith trusts God when we cannot, somebody said, trace God. We can't figure it out. We can't follow His logic. We can't figure out what He's doing and why He allowed those things to happen in our lives. But we can trust when it seems to be for our good. And that's what I was talking about in those testimonies. When it's for our good, we say, well, how God is so good. And wasn't God good to do that for me? And isn't God sweet because He blessed me financially and He did this and did that? All these positive things, all these good things. And a lot of times when we trust Him, we're trusting Him when we see it for our good, we see it like that, and we say, well, that's great. God did this good thing for me, this positive thing for me. But we can trust God in all things, and we should. It's when we cannot see what God is doing. It's when we don't understand what God is doing. It's when it looks like, out of all the circumstances, that we're not seeing anything good come out of it right now. And so we question God, and we look at the circumstances, and we say, I don't see how anything good can come out of this. This doesn't make any sense that God has allowed this to happen in my life. How can anything good come out of it? It's when we can't see those things that God shows us that, and that's when He develops our faith. Let's go. Keep your place there, if you would, or go to the book of James just a second. And we'll look at James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. If you can find it there quickly, if not, just listen carefully as we read these verses. He says in James 1, 3, and 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does something. What does it do? Worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience do its work. God says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience is good for us. Patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that is mature, complete, entire, wanting nothing. And that's something that is so vital in our lives as Christians, and James reminds us of that. And so we need from our trials to gain faith. That's something we need to gain, and it helps build our faith. And then we need to gain patience. All of us probably need a little of that. And contentment. And so faith, patience, and contentment, those three things work together. Faith, and then patience, waiting on the Lord, trusting God through it all. And then contentment comes. And those things all work together. And that's what he's talking about. So it helps us steward, that is, it helps us use our trials for the glory of God. And that's, by the way, why we're left here, to magnify and glorify God and to win souls to Christ, and our testimony has a lot to do with that. So it helps us steward our trials so that out of that comes glory to God. God gets the glory, and then we trust that he'll work them to our good. We just have to believe that whatever it is that God allows, he's going to work it for our good, ultimately. May not be immediately, may not be exactly when we want it, but he's going to work these things to our good in his time period. We just need to trust God that he'll get glory out of that. Jeremiah Burroughs wrote these words, and let me quote him. He said, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. Let me read that again. Listen to it carefully. Christian contentment. Are you content today? Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise, and remember he's our Father, fatherly disposal in every condition. The Bible says, give thanks in what? All things, for this is the will of God concerning you. Give thanks in all things, not just selected things, but in everything that God allows to come our way. And sometimes that's rather hard to do. So this kind of faith honors God. And we have to have faith that trusts God's ways. Just trust God's ways. God makes no mistakes. And we have to do that. And this kind of faith honors God. Secondly, it is wise to seek God's wisdom. Seek God's wisdom. Trust his ways. Secondly, seek God's wisdom. Sometimes when we're in a trial, we're trying to trust the Lord through it, but we get a little confused. We struggle, and we don't know which way to go. What decision do I make here? What direction do I go in? And how's this best going to give glory and honor to the Lord? And sometimes we really struggle to understand our surroundings, what's going on around us and why that's going on, and what do we need to do with all of that. We try to understand our surroundings, and God wants us to make wise decisions. And so we have these times of perplexity. What do I do? What's right here? I've got the circumstances. I'm looking at it. Lord, I want to do the right thing. I really do. And hopefully that's the attitude that we all have during those times, but we need wisdom about doing that. What do we get during those times? Sometimes we get conflicting advice. May I suggest to you that you don't listen to all the advice people try to give you? Amen? And there may be some good people who try to give you good advice, but there's just a lot of advice, And I've never understood why Christians go to non-Christians to get their advice. That doesn't make any sense. Do you think that an unsaved person has better advice? And I know there may be some limited technical things medically or whatever they might, but I'm just saying to you that you don't need to listen to all the advice that people give you. Everybody says, well, you ought to do this. And somebody says, no, you ought to do this. Somebody else says, no, you ought to do this. And you can folks say, no, you ought to do this. Everybody has an opinion. Opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one except Adam and Eve, I guess. But at any rate, we all have our opinions. And you have to be careful about who you listen to. And you get also confusing information that comes. You read an article, you read something, or somebody tells you that, and then before you know it, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling frustrated about the trial. I know I have been there many times, and will be there again, no doubt. So what do we do? Well, let me tell you a perfect resource. A perfect, I mean perfect resource. And there are not many of those around. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of whom? God. You think God has any wisdom? How many of you here think God has wisdom? Say amen. Raise your hand, whichever one. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He doesn't want to withhold it from you. And upbraideth not. He doesn't want to chew you out about anything. And it shall be what? Given him, her too. Shall be given them. If you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom. I promise you as a pastor, many a day I have to say, oh God, give me wisdom. I'm not sure what to do in this case. How do I handle this? What do I do? Where do we go from here? What's the vision? And we have to ask for God's wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask for God. So we need to seek his wisdom. How do we do it? What did he say? We do it through prayer. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How many of you believe God hears and answers our prayers? Amen. So ask God. And God is listening. And I was just reading 1 Chronicles this morning where he's talking about he knows our minds, he knows our hearts, he knows everything about what we're thinking right now. He knows exactly what's on your mind right now. God knows all of that. So we need to seek his wisdom through prayer and ask him. And then we need to read and study the Word of God. It's very important that we as believers read the Word and study the Word. And so much wisdom is going to come where? From the Word of God. In answer to prayer, asking God to show us. Proverbs 2:2-6. Let's look there just a second. Proverbs 2:2-6. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, that would take care of a bunch, wouldn't it? A bunch of us, including myself, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. If you want to get wisdom, I'll tell you, a great book to get it from is Proverbs. Read through the Proverbs. It's not a bad idea to read from Proverbs very often because it's saturated with counsel and it's saturated with wisdom. And God wants to give that to us. And he tells us that in Proverbs 1:5, he wants to give us wise counsel. So, when we have dilemmas in life, when we have problems in life, when we have troubles in life, and all of that, trials that are coming, and we don't know which way to turn, what do? Well, seek God's face and seek God's wisdom. And I've been with a lot of people through a lot of terrible things that they've gone through, but I'm glad to say that many of them have sought God's face in the midst of their storm and trial, and they've come out all right on the other side of it, and God bless them because of that. Seek God's wisdom, and he'll give it to you. And then thirdly, rest in God's word. Rest in God's love. I mean, not word, love. Rest in God's love. Now, most of you are probably sort of like me. I'm a fix-it person. How many of you would say you're a fix-it person? Raise your hand. If you see something wrong, if I have a light bulb out in my house, I want to fix it. I don't want to fool around with it. I want to find the ladder, go get the bulb, and fix it. I'm not going to, you husbands, I see your wives punching you right now. But if it's something that's not working right, I want to get it fixed. I want to fix it. And sometimes I fix things plumbing-wise. And then when I get through fixing it, Carolyn calls the plumber, and he comes and fixes what I messed up. But at least I try. But we're fix-it people. Most of us are that way. Probably most of us, truthfully, are that way. We want to make those things work now. Also, when it comes to problems in life, we want to make God's ways work right now. God, I want it to work right now. I just prayed, now do it right now. I expect you to do it right this moment. And it's good to have faith and expect God to do it if it is God's will to do it at that moment. It may not be His will to do it at that moment. But we say, God, I want to do it now. And we want answers immediately. We'll say something like this: God, give me patience, and please hurry up, and give it to me right now. I need patience now. Be careful when you're praying for patience, amen? God may test you and give you patience in a way you didn't think about it. But there comes a point when we're going through this struggle, and we're going through these things that we may not understand. We wonder, well, why isn't that prayer being answered? I've been praying for a long time about this, and why hadn't that circumstance changed, and why all of these different things. There comes a point that we just simply have to do this: rest in God's love. Just rest in God's love. How many of you here today believe God really loves you? Raise your hand. He loves you. All right? I think that was everybody. God loves you. You say, well, I know He loves you, preacher, but I don't think He loves me. He loves you. I know He loves my neighbor, but I don't think He loves me. Oh, He loves you. Be convinced that He loves you, for God so loved the world, and He saved your soul. There comes a point where we must rest in God's love, even when we don't have the answers, even when we are sort of in limbo, that we don't have the exact answers from God. What do? Trust Him. Trust His love. Rest in His love. And maybe we don't have direction. We don't know which way to turn. What do? Until He shows us, just rest in His love, and at the right time, He will show us exactly what He wants us to do. And we need to trust God. Why should I trust God? Why should you trust God this morning? Because He loves you. He loves you, and He loves me. It is the right thing to do, and we have to be convinced that He really loves us. And so when we are convinced that He really loves us, whatever He allows to come into our lives, we will accept it. And we won't be mad or angry or question God. This brings rest to our souls. God loves me, and He's allowed this. I may not understand it, but Romans 8:28 is true. And there are a lot of things I don't understand. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. He didn't say all things are good. You know, it's... How many of you ladies still know how to bake a cake? Raise your hand. All right, that's about 15 I need coming my way now. I want your specialty, all right? You say, what do you like the most? All of them. Just about all of them. But when you make a cake, suppose you serve the ingredients individually to me. Suppose you said, here's some flour. Help yourself. I'd take a mouthful of flour and spit it out. And here's salt. Just help yourself. All the salt you want. All the baking powders you want. I don't know if this is right. I don't know if that's what goes in cake, but you get the idea, whatever it may be. But you get it all together and stir it all together. It's not all good individually, put it all together, and you come out there with some of that 7-minute icing, white, I like that too, and put it on a chocolate-colored cake and fix it all up, and you say, have a piece of cake, preacher, and I'll say, man, that looks good, and I'll get me a piece and eat it, and a good cup of coffee, make you hungry right now, amen, a good cup of coffee, and enjoy. But you give me the ingredients individually, I'm not going to like it. We know that all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but they all blend and work together for good. Did you know some of the medicine you're taking has poison in it? Did you know that? Definitely. Aren't you glad the pharmacist knows how to mix it? And when he mixes it, it's good for you. And so you take the pill. It's supposed to be good for you. I wonder about some of them. But at any rate, we have many questions. Sometimes these are never answered. And they're not, listen, they're not going to be answered sometimes in this life. We're not going to get the answers in this life. But the minute we get to heaven, circumstances will not matter. The songwriter, the Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, here's some of the words in it. When we see Jesus, and what this is what it's going to be, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We're going to understand it better by and by, another song. And we will when we're in the presence of the Lord. And we may live a lifetime and wonder, why did that happen? Why did those things happen? And not have the exact answers. We may know some of the answers, we may not. But when we get into His presence, we will have the answers. And then if we just settle this in our heart that God loves us, God is a good God. Amen? And as you heard people saying a lot, I hear them saying a lot lately, God is a good God. God's good all the time. Well, I believe He is, don't you? So that means He's good to us all the time. He loves us. He loves me. And we need to rest in God's love. Rest in that love. Turn to Romans just a second. Chapter 5, if you can find that there, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Well, let me just go ahead and start with verse 1, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, that is, we're saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the old account is settled. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this unmerited thing He gives us, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We're back to that patience experience. Experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Thank God He loves us. And we have to believe that. And God has shed that abroad in our hearts, the love of God. In time, after a lot of times we see the trials we go through, we may not always understand them. But I can tell you many times in my life, I look back on some of the things I went through. I can remember one time being down 6 weeks within a year, equilibrium problem. Carolyn would feed me scrambled eggs. I was on the couch like this, and if I turned my head that far, I got so sick I couldn't keep anything down. And she would feed me scrambled eggs. I still like scrambled eggs. I like chocolate cake better, but scrambled eggs are good. And, I mean, there were, after that, when I got up, I was scared, sort of frightened, and then I remember trying to drive the first time after that. And I was like, am I going to get sick? Am I going to be dizzy and not know where I'm going to go? But I said all that to say this. It was during those times that I look back on that and say, oh, I see what God was teaching me. And I see what He was doing in my life. And I knew that He was showing me some things, maturing me, helping me, warning me, you name it. And I look back on that. And that's just one illustration. Many times we look back, if we're honest, we look back on the trial, and we don't say, oh, that's just bad luck. Christians don't have good luck or bad luck. Get off of that. you know, we are God's children, and God allows things to come our way. And so we ought to be thankful, and we thank God that we stewarded those times of trials. And people are watching our lives all the time to see what we do. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Remember that. Whatever we suffer here, what, 70, and then most of us now on board time, a lot of us, and all of that, this is a brief life. It's like a vapor. You and I in this class know that. The young couples don't get into that too much, but we've lived long enough. We know, hey, man, where'd it go? This is a vapor. It's about, you know, we look at that, and we don't get depressed over it. We just, reality is reality, and we look at it. But we know that it's nothing to be compared with the glory we're going to have with Jesus Christ. What a great day that's going to be. We need to steward our trials. I ran across something, I wrote it in my little soul-winning New Testament. Sometimes I'll read the scripture in the hospital room. And this was the statement I ran across. I'm going to read the verses first, and that's in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And the scripture says here, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Notice this verse. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We go through trials, God comforts us. He expects us to take that and help others when they're going through trials to comfort them because of what we've been through. And then I read this statement as I was reading a book the other day. I thought, man, that's good. And it's says this, there is a unique way Christ uses our witness when we are suffering that he does not when we are at ease. Now let me read that to you one more time. There's a unique way Christ uses our witness when we are suffering that he does not when we are at ease. The world's not going to be impressed if you inherited $1 million and you holler, praise the Lord. They'll be jealous. But if they see you going through the fires and you're having physical problems and all kinds of other problems and you say, I praise God anyway, I thank God anyway, God's on the throne, he knows what he's doing, I may not understand it, but I want him to use it for his glory. Then people look at that and they say, man, that is unusual. Looks like they'd be mad at God, angry at God, question God, but they don't do it. And that is a powerful testimony to the glory of God. We ought to steward those things that come in our lives that are things that are very difficult. And that's how we steward our trial with grace. And God will use it for his glory. Thank you, Lord, for the trials. They make us better. Thank you that you are with us in the trials. And thank you, dear God, that hopefully in all of those you will teach us something and we'll get the message. And then after that, that we would use these for your glory. You would help us to come to a better place of spiritual maturity that you might be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.